This message will be probably a little different than any message you've heard. And some of you have heard part of it. But as I was talking to the Lord, asking Him the direction for this morning, and in consideration and remembering the 39 years of all the things that God has done, He brought my attention to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. I asked Diane and Chris and Brian to share some stories of things in the past, and I want you to understand, I thank God for the past, but I do not worship the past.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
I thank God for the past, but I do not worship the past. Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 1, you don't have to stand because I'm going to read several verses, and then, like I said, we're going to look at things a little different. Some of you have probably heard some of these stories, and some of you that have need to hear it again, and some of you have not heard them. But again, it's just like sitting around a big table, and we're family, and as we just enjoy the blessings of God over the past 39 years and what He's got for us the next 39 years. So now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. I need to read this to set the tone. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given you into the hands thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shall ye do it 6 days. Most of you could tell the story better than anybody. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. The 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpet. And it shall come to pass that when they made a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. The walls of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, verse 8, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpet, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. That represents, always has, always will, represents the presence of God. How many knows His presence is here today? And the armed men went before the priests and blew with the trumpet, and rearward came after the ark, and the priests going on and blowing the trumpets. Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not speak or shout, or ye shall not make a noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city. The presence, I want you to listen. I want you to listen. And the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose up early in the morning. The priest took up the ark of the Lord. And 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpet, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priest going on and blowing the trumpet. Verse 14. And the 2nd day, they compassed the city once, returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. So they did 6 days. You still awake?
Yeah.
We have seen a lot of things transpire over the last 39 years. We have experienced victories along with heartaches. But through it all, we have learned to trust in Jesus. At times, we had no clue what lay ahead. Nor could we predict by any stretch of the imagination the future. But we know, we knew then, we know now, God has all things in control. Just about the time you think you have it all figured out, God adds a whole new dimension. And lets you know that our dependency is on Him, not on man's ability to navigate or control the daily plan that God has. Our job is just follow Jesus. Be sensitive to His Spirit, knowing He has ordered our footsteps. Those who truly trust in Him. When I went to get the property rezoned on Carl Street in Old 68, I had to go to the city board. One old timer sitting in the very back, bless his little heart, that had these encouraging words to say, "That's all we need is another church." And as I have asked the boys to give us a little insight, each one of those will share just a little bit. Sister Diane declined. She said, "You do it." And she gave me a couple things to remind you of, Chris. Brian, come right ahead. I know a lot of things have transpired over the last 2 years, but I thank God for my wife and our boys. And they do have a legacy. I said they do have a legacy that never dies. I don't always understand the plan that God rolls out, but I do know God knows. And I do know He cares. And I do know He has it all in His plan. So,
I guess they wanted me to start.
Go ahead, you got it.
Everybody check my parents' pulse, and their blood pressure is super high right now because they never know what's going to come out of my mouth. I just quickly want to give you, they asked me, and they said, just all I ask you is to make sure that you don't mention names. So in order to protect the innocent, I'm just going to keep them in my memoirs and books, and you'll get them in a few years or write something, I promise you. But I just want to kind of give you a little insight into the life of a PK preacher's kid. Mom and Dad started the church when we were 6 and 8, older. I was 6, I was a baby, so. But a day in the life of a PK, when Dad was talking about the little store that they redid on 412, the old 68 highway. It was a plate glass window storefront, right? Some of you may remember that. And right next to it was an old abandoned like tire shop or something.
Gas station.
Old gas station. I don't remember the gas station, but I do remember the window in the gas station. And see, Mom remembers the story well. There was a gravel parking lot, and I was like 6, so I hadn't taken physics in class yet. So I wanted to see what would happen when a rock went through glass. See where this is going? So at 6 years old, I found out exactly what happens when you throw a rock through a window. And I found out what happens with your dad after you throw a rock through a window. And I learned a very valuable lesson that day. I remember time and again, I'm just kind of setting this up, my brother always had a really, really good idea for me and I. And this was still when Bob was still sometime working at the store. And he decided we'd slide down the banister of the break room up on the top of the food for us, which is not even there anymore. It's now in the neighborhood market. But Mom and Dad, for some reason, we had went to the store. And so, like you said, again, my brother decided that it would be a good idea for us to slide down the banister. Well, we started racing, and Brian decided to jump too far over the banister, up probably, what, 15, 18 feet high in the air. Over to the banister, down to the floor, concrete floor on the back. My parents were scared to the death. They were afraid that I had done something really, really bad. And once they realized, you know, once that they realized everything was okay, all I got was, see, this is what happens when you do stupid things. And all I wanted to do was call for the elders of the church. Just like, get them in here, I need prayer. PK, that's what we got. That's what we learned. We learned through spankings and stuff like that. And you know, this is what happens when you do these things. But the other kids in the church. So this is a part of the PK life that you live in a glass house that you didn't really ask for, but everybody else gets to watch. It's really a fun thing. It sounds great. But the other kids, a rock would go through the window, or something would get knocked off the shelf. And I can still see it to this day. My mom with her sweet smile saying, "It's okay, you know, accidents happen." Accidents happen. That's not what he told me. Okay, there's no accident. So, my counselor gets paid a lot of money to listen to me talk. One other great story. Now, I will say that 39 years, I don't think so. I'm trying to remember, but I never had a cat that broke one. Here, broke one. I think so. We've been pretty blessed with that.
Few stitches.
However, we did have a situation one Sunday night at church. We decided we were on Tulsa Street. Some of you actually may remember this. We had out by the front parking lot. We had, remember those little concrete kind of the curb stoppers? They're movable and stuff. We were all, there was a bunch of the kids outside, and we decided to do some spinning around. I don't really know what we're doing. We're playing tag or something. I don't know. That was back in the good days when we went outside to play. And it was after church. And my brother fell just right around one of those curb bumpers. And I was around, but I didn't know what happened. And I thought I had gained a new sister. He screamed. We're only dogs to hear him. He cracked open his skull on the curb, and we got a fun night to the hospital. And so those are some of the, like I said, those are just a couple of the stories that we lived through and survived to tell those stories. That's it. Tell a couple of funny stories. And then tell a couple of that touched you. As many funny stories as I have twice as many of stories that God has blessed myself and my wife with over the last, for us, 24 years. I didn't think it was funny then, but I had to help mow when I was 7, 8, 9 years old. I was not only lucky enough to be able to help mow the churchyard, I got lucky enough to help mow all the little old ladies in the church and mow their yards too. My brother couldn't because he had asthma. I took a few days off this week to be able to be here and be able to come to revival with everybody. And so I have a feeling that maybe at some point this week I'll probably still at 45 years old sit on a mower. Or find a weed in my hand. You know what? It was a work ethic.
Yes.
Amen.
That they taught me way back, man. That I can stand here today.
Come on, come on.
And proud of what they taught me. My three kids were all dedicated right down here before. And I had 4 generations of family that got to watch all 3 of them. And as a matter of fact, today my youngest turns 20 years old. So I've been blessed to that. Got married in this church. Had some crazy stories of youth ministry to tell. And I put down some names. I know I'm not supposed to mention names. Those are the funny stories I usually give. And there were some people that went with us on almost every single goose chase, every crazy event, every
stranded night in Kansas City at Vince. Smelly was there. Mr. City was there. Done. Cooked more meals than we can imagine. Gave out more ice cream to kids at VBS than you could ever even think of. And there were about six people that I could call on any point in time. My parents, both sets of my grandparents, it wouldn't matter if it was 2 o'clock in the morning. They would pray for me. I was tired. I was sick. Even this past year, as you get older, I had spent a few hours for the first time in my life. I got to take an ambulance ride. Spent some hours in the emergency room, and I was up in Kansas, just south of Wichita, and it was, I don't know, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. And my wife was way down in South Arkansas at cheer camp, so she was working down there. And guess who showed up at the emergency room? Same thing done for everyone of you. No difference. But had it not been for some people in my life that I could call on, like I said, outside of my family, Sister Brenda used to pray for me. She would tell me. She would remind me. And I hate that I don't get to tell this morning, but I did several times get to tell Sister Lori Nunn. Just tell them to pray for me. And not been for them, I would not be able to be here this morning. And then I seen a young man walk in the back of the door. I had no idea he would be. I haven't seen him in years, probably. Brother Odie Walker is sitting in the back of this room, and he carried me. So those nights when I didn't think, he would call me after a Wednesday night. He'd say, "Hey, I just want to encourage you. I just want to tell you. I've seen those kids coming out of that building tonight, and I you know what you're doing is a good job, and so I'm praying for you, and I believe in you." So I appreciate it. If it had not been for me, there's no way I could be here. And so those are some of the stories that I want to thank you for that. And I always have to finish on a funny story, so let's finish this right here. Gavin and Tammy, sitting here, you do me a favor and again apologize to Kylie for me. We spent a weekend at Six Flags in Texas. Some of you might remember this. We were in the courtyard, and there were several of us down in the courtyard. Kylie hadn't made it down yet to go to dinner, and there was a professional career woman, we'll just leave it at that, walked up the courtyard and knocked on a hotel room door. And, you know, it's still kind of empty, so we're all kind of like, what's going on here? And it opened the door, and there was Kylie. And you can see the look on Kylie's face, his eyes, and if you get to see him, please, he'll come around here. His eyes got to that big around, he's like. Yeah, I'm sorry. Thanks for giving me a chance.
Mine won't be that long, but as always, I'm always the one to follow up and correct everything said before. Because as all of you know, I was a good child. I've reiterated that. As far as the sister part, when you have a 16-inch gash in your head, and you've got blood pouring out everywhere, and you need a transfusion, okay, that might be embellished a little bit. I don't have quite as many stories as Brian had. I had just a few that I wanted to share. And Brian was correct in saying he was 6. I was almost 8 when Dad started the first church on 412. And I'll start with the funny ones as well. Many of you know the love, deep, deep love that I have for tambourines. And I want you to know that the reason that is, the reason that the love goes so deep is because when you're a PK and you see whatever is found on earth will be found on heaven. Kind of like Brian said, when
you wrong, you're going to pay.
That's right.
But if it's somebody else in the church, we love them. Give them a piece of gum, hug them, let them know that it's going to be all right. But when it comes to music, and most of you know I'm somewhat of a perfectionist. So when people would bring out tambourines that had no gift of rhythm whatsoever, I truly believe that God has gifts and talents for all of us, and we should not participate in those that we are not gifted and talented in. I've seen spoons. I have seen ukuleles, mandolins, tambourines. Anything that you could imagine that would totally... that would totally put a damper on any move of the Spirit. And so yes, I don't fare too well with those because they mess up the correct tempo the song is supposed to be played or say, and you all who are gifted in that, you understand, I know you do. But anyway, I live through all of that, made me more appreciative of what we have today, and God's goodness and His grace. Again, so many funny stories I could tell, but I'm going to leave those because I think the ones that mean most to my heart are the most important this morning. I do remember that first building, very cold in the winter because it was all cylinder block building. There were no doors inside. Everything was just a curtain that you pulled across. So you could hear everything. Old movie theater benches that was donated to the church. Some beautiful orange carpet that went with those green chairs. It was great. But moving into the second building, which was the old Jehovah Witness building on Tulsa Street, which as I'm looking across the congregation this morning, I would say that there's a large portion of you that joined at that second location. But moving from the first building to the second building was just, it was special. It was like a landmark. We had moved from one place to another place that God had blessed us with. And I remember many, many things in that building. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost when I was 14 there. The people that are here were there during that service. That particular building will always hold a special place in my heart. Some of you remember this as well. There was one Sunday morning we had come into church and we always would sing a song and we'd go to Sunday school. And we come in that Sunday morning and we sang. And that singing never stopped for 2 hours. And I cannot remember another time in my life when I felt the presence of the Lord so strong as I did that Sunday on Tulsa Street, just a few blocks from here. After that, we were in the process of building this building, and we had sold that property prior to this building being completed. And so we rented the Arkansas Baptist Assembly Ground just down the road here. Had service there. That was memorable to me. It was, I saw God, you know, taking us to a different level, even though it was another location. It was God just continuing to bless. And every time He would bless that, the Tulsa Street location, I can remember the last Sunday we were there. We had opened up offices in the back and set chairs. We were just packed in that building. I remember some people thinking we were building a building here too big. It was just too big. And even as we went down to a temporary facility down at the Baptist Assembly Ground, God grew there. We grew there. God bless. That was during the time that I met my wife, and I had prayed that God give me someone who could stand behind me in the ministry. I felt like He called me in, and He did. And I couldn't be more happy and thankful for that. And we were the second ones married in this church So many things. God has done so many wonderful things here. Goodness, as a, like Brian said, as a preacher's kid, I'm going to be honest. You see people come in your life and you see people go. You get attached to people and then they get jerked out from underneath you. And you don't know. It's life. It's what it is. But, oh, God always makes up the difference. Always makes up the difference. Life is full of highs. Life is full of lows. And we spend the majority of our time in between those highs and lows. But God always, always, always makes up the difference. As I finish, He says, I am the author and I am the finisher of your faith. And I'm so thankful that even here in 39 years, that God isn't finished yet.
That's right.
My story isn't done. Your story isn't done.
That's right.
God has another place and another plan for us. And our goal is to simply stay in His plan where He's got us so that He can fulfill that. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.
Thank you, boys. And I was thinking, as God has transitioned us from the little storefront church to Tulsa Street to the Octagon Building to here, the next transition that God is moving, He's just as real. He's just as awesome. And it is nothing more than a transition. And the legacy that God has given through the lives of each one of you, through the life of my wife and our boys and their wives and their children, it is that legacy that will live on and always be a part. No power in hell can separate that. And I appreciate them sharing. And just wanted to give my wife an opportunity to come and straighten this mess up if she would like. I know she's not feeling real well today, so I pray for her. I wanted to share some of these things and wanted them to share some of these things with you. And yet, God has given me a very serious side of this message, whether you believe it or not. But we have come this far by faith. We are trusting in the Lord. The spoons and the tambourines, we probably wouldn't have any memories at all if it wasn't for those. And you must understand, there was times that tambourines was played in the church, and it wasn't just this, but there was one fellow that he used every part of his body, his elbow to his head to his knee, playing a tambourine, and it was very, very quite amusing. It was hard to follow the leadership of the Spirit during those times. We've had glorious times. We're Pentecost, and I remember times people shouting up and down the aisles, and I remember specifically one young man getting so excited, shouting down the aisle, and as he comes shouting down the aisle with his shoes on his hands, get the picture of that, serious. I mean, just about the time you think that you've seen everything in a Pentecostal church, you haven't. One very memorable time, our parents didn't live close, so we sometimes indulged on church family to watch the boys if we had to go to the hospital. And one evening we had to go to the hospital and the boys was little. And so we asked Brother and Sister Wade, several of you know Brother and Sister Wade, we asked Brother and Sister Wade to watch the boys till we got back from the hospital. We run through Sonic, got the boys a foot-long chili dog. You know, boys don't go for just short chili dogs. You go for the foot-long. Well, Sister Wade, if you knew her, that was way too much food for a boy to eat. So she took her scissors, literally, and cut the chili dog in pieces for the boys. Quite a memorable time. You teach your boys to be nice and eat what is on their plate and find that what they didn't like, they stuffed their potato with it. Such memorable times. I was, as a new preacher, when you're called, you just go. You don't ask questions. And I went out north of town one day, I called. Young lady was hysterical. And I get out there, and her little cat, and I mean to sound distasteful, but this little cat was in her husband's grill when he started the vehicle, and the fan blade made mush out of him. And she wanted me to either pray the prayer of faith or take it to the vet, which the vet, I did, and the vet looked and just shook his head. Poor little cat. And like both boys said, and Sister Diane as well, we could tell you story after story after story. I thank God for what He has done, but I do not worship those. I thank God for those. So as I transition into the seriousness, and again, I thank God for what He's done, for what He's going to do, because it's just one transition, and I'm glad that they're a part of it and always will be a part of it, and I'm glad this morning you're a part of it, and it is good to see each one of you. Okay, will you give me about 15, 20 minutes? Okay. In the third verse that I read to you, and it shall come, and ye shall compass the city, all the men of war, and you will go around about the city once. Thou shalt do it 6 days, one day at a time, and that's the title of my message. It's really difficult to transition from what we've just heard to where I am now, but God spoke to my heart the other day concerning this message. 39 years, we still haven't taken the city. But we are only to surround it one day at a time. He didn't tell me the number of days or even the years. He just told me to go. My objective as a meat cutter here in Siloam Springs was to go back home and preach the gospel, starting a church in Bentonville. But in a home mission service in Alma, Arkansas, God's Spirit moved on my wife and I both to start a work here in Siloam Springs. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the things that have been accomplished and all those things that are yet to be accomplished has been nothing short of the glory of God. I'm starting to get preachy. For all I am and all I ever hope to be is completely all because of Christ. I choose to trust the Lord. But the most important aspect of this work, both then and now, is found in verse number 8. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord and blew the trumpet. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Verse number 11 said, and so the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged there. In Exodus chapter 33, verses 14 and 15 and 16 says, and the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Verse 15, and then Moses said, if your presence do not go with us, do not send us from here. My heart and my desire from day number one and from this day forward, Father God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us on any farther. I've got to have you, and without you and without your presence, I am absolutely nothing. Without your direction and without your guidance, I am nothing but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And today I stand before you, and I promise you that if it was not for God leading the way and being with us, we would never have made it past the first day. But for the glory and the honor of our Savior Jesus Christ, we have come this far by faith, trusting and leaning on the Lord. Somebody say a great big hearty amen, knowing that His presence is with us, and the very presence has helped in the time of need. It is by no means that I have made that I have not made mistakes, nor that I have not done anything, that I have done everything right, but I have done my best to follow Him, confessing to Him when I fall, seeking Him of my shortcomings, and reaching out to Him and keeping my eyes on Him for the direction and the vision that He has for this congregation, toward this congregation.
congregation, toward my family, I look diligently to God to seek His direction. As we look at Joshua, most memorable victory, perhaps the one that stands out the most is the destruction of Jericho. If you can think for a moment how absurd God's military strategy would seem to be to a real man of war, marching around Jericho 13 times in a week, one time for the first 6 days and 7 times on the seventh day. And on the seventh day, after the seventh time, the priest blew the trumpet, and that was the achievement of victory. No weapons, no fighting, no plan attacked, and yet Joshua did not waver in his faith in God, and yet Joshua was obedient from the first day to the last, to every detail.
Got past the story for preaching now, okay? No doubt the residents of Jericho begin to laugh after the first or second day as they begin to humor themselves with the entertainment provided by seemingly an incompetent Hebrew army that marched and circled their walls doing nothing. Come on, somebody. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we've been laughed at, been made fun of. The name Pentecost over our doors has not always been welcomed in this city. I recall coming to Siloam Springs when God spoke to our heart to start the church. I was an exuberant young pastor and wanted to feel a part of our community. I went to the Ministerial Alliance meetings where there was about 3, 4, 5 preachers that gathered for breakfast occasionally. And in my excitement of being a Pentecostal preacher coming to Siloam Springs, I had just gotten me some brand new cards, business cards, and I handed them to the preacher. And one of those individuals was the highlight of my day. As he took my card, right in front of me, wrote 666 on it and pushed it across the table back to me. That's what I thought. And that's what he thought by the look in his eyes when I knocked on his door later that day at his house and told him how disfavorable he was of doing such a thing in the right spirit.
Amen.
I did not drag him out of the house. But in the right spirit. But I tell you, just as those that was in the confines of Jericho, this city has not fully accepted Pentecost. But I declare to you this day, I have not stopped marching. And I will. Not stop marching. Regardless, I may have to take somebody by the hand or borrow your walker, but I will not stop walking because God has given us this city in the name of the Lord. Yet through their obedience, Joshua was committed to doing whatever it took to gain the victory. And if God said, shout, General Joshua would lay down his sword and spear and wholeheartedly follow the direction God gave him, no matter how absurd it seemed. There's been times that God gave me direction that seemed to be absurd and didn't seem to make sense. But I am convinced with all of my heart that God knew and knows what He was doing then, and He knows what He's doing now. There are 10 things that Joshua was committed to. Joshua was obedient from his first priority. He never wanted to see what the crowd or anybody else was doing. God gave him the mandate and he followed it. His decisions was made on an internal perspective, not on a temporary one. He acted decisively and followed his instructions precisely. He deeply appreciated the past victories without worshiping them. That's where I got that. He valued the results and gave God the credit more than the image or reputation. Did you hear that? He valued the results and that God gave and give God
God the credit more than the image and the reputation that he could have. He knew that if he was going to influence others, he would have to take a stand and be counted and give God the glory. Joshua never wavered from his understanding of what was right and followed the path without question nor considering the opinion of the culture. He trusted it. Can I tell you, can I break away from that just a moment? Can I tell you, we cannot consider the opinion of the culture. We must follow God's word to the very letter, knowing that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He trusted in God more than his gift. He trusted in God more than his gift, and the ability to get things done was through God, his Savior, his Lord. He made worship and glorified and honored God. That was the ultimate of his objective. In Joshua chapter 5, verse number 12, and the manna ceased. Listen to me. I'm coming to a culmination of this message. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten from the oak horn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. I believe, church, with all of my heart, that it's time that we quit living in the blessings of the past. Let me say that again. I believe with all of my heart that it's time to quit living on the blessings of the past and take claim on the properties that God has blessed us with in the present and in the future, and start to enjoy the fruits of our labor where we are now as we become fully committed and dedicated to God's plan for the days ahead, drawing nigh unto God through obedience and the faithful, serving Him with gladness, and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, knowing that He has given us the souls of this city for His glory and for His honor. Amen.
Verse 13 of Scripture that I just gave to in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Need to go back and read this passage of Scripture. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? As God began to speak to our heart the other evening on this message, told Sister Diane the next day, I said, as I was hearing God and allowing God, and I'm very cautious when I tell you that God spoke to my heart, but I cannot help but believe deeply by what I felt, that as I was preparing this message, God was speaking to my heart directly. As I put it on paper for you to listen to the prophecy of what God is speaking to us today through the Word of God, knowing that God has a purpose and has a plan. God has His Word engraved within your heart, and He's speaking to us right now, this very moment. Joshua said, are you for us or are you for our adversary? It is past time that we know who we serve and who we trust in. It's time that we put our own agenda aside and we work together for the common purpose to build the kingdom of God. I'll tell you the truth, church. God is not pleased when we form private allegiance in the form of conspiracy at any level or at any degree. It is not a God of separating body parts to work in their own area of interest. It's only when those body parts come together to work together with Christ being the head and the leadership He has ordained to lead. It is then and only then that the walls of your life will come crumbling down and victory will be accomplished and Jesus will be honored and Jesus will be glorified. Verse 14, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? When we see
when we see and we understand that the Lord is the captain, and it is He who has allowed all of the prophecies and the victories to be fulfilled and to be accomplished. It is when we truly see Him for who He is, high and lifted up in heaven and in earth, and His glory has filled the temple. His glory has filled this place. His glory is in our presence. It's when we get a glimpse of that glory, we truly see Him for who He is. We will put away our selfish ambitions and fall on our faces toward God and worship Him for who He has surrendered. We surrender all as His servants, knowing He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and He is the end. He is the first and He is the last. He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's our soon coming King. Verse 15, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose off thy shoes off of thy feet, for the place whereon thou art standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Hear the words that God's speaking to our heart today. I come to tell you today, church, we are only in the beginning of what God has for this church and congregation of 39 years. Let me say that again. I believe that God has spoken to our hearts, and we are only in the beginning stages of what God has for this church and this congregation of 39 years, because God is not imprisoned by time. He is not limited to an hourglass or structured by man's calendar, but we serve a God that has no limitations. There's nothing that He cannot handle, nor is there anything too small that He's not concerned about. More than once have we stood in this place as we have experienced the captain, the King of Kings, as He has occupied this space in this house. Many has engaged into His presence, while so many have failed to recognize His holiness in this place. It is His glory that causes us to pull off our shoes and recognize that we're standing on holy ground. Holy ground was not confined to the backside of Moses' desert. Hear me this morning, church. I said holy ground was not confined to the backside of Moses' desert. Or neither was it the one-time experience that Joshua stood by Jericho and confronted the captain of the Lord's army. Not that Joshua was disrespectful in any way, but he desired to know whose side was he on. And just as Joshua heard the commanding words of the commander of the Lord's army, make the proclamation, I am He. I am the great I am. It is for that reason, he said, I have now come. You're not preaching, you're not saying amen as good as I'm preaching this morning. Man, how in the world can I do that after all them stories? Because God's the God of right now. Right now. I got something to tell you. Got something to tell you. Your walls are of your Jericho are about to fall. I said your walls of your Jericho are about to fall. Hear me today, church. This is what thus saith God. God hath promised that He would give us the former and the latter rain. He has promised that He would never forsake us, nor He would never leave us. He has promised, and the promises specified to this church, that He would see things, that we would see things that we had never seen before. Can I tell you that there's a new day dawning? And if you want to be a part of it, you need to realize and recognize that the captain of the Lord's host is standing among us. And I believe it's time we shout to the walls fall, taking off our shoes, because we are standing on holy ground. These words were not to Joshua only, but the God that I serve is still the Lord of hosts and the King of kings. He's standing outside your wall of which needs to crumble at your feet. So I tell you today what the Lord says. Be not dismayed. Don't be confused because you're standing on holy ground. And again, I say to you, the captain of the Lord's host has come. And I encourage you to trust Him, to call upon Him. For the walls around you cannot stand in the face of your obedience to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Would you stand over this place today?